Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, it is your glory always to have mercy. Bring back all who have erred and strayed in from your ways. Lead them again to embrace in faith the truth of your word and to hold it fast. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the scriptures.
A reading from Genesis, the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said to him, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down, it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 27 responsibly. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?
When evil doers came upon me to eat my flesh, it was they, my foes and my enemies, who troubled me.
Though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid. One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
To behold the fair beauty of the Lord, and to see him in his temple.
For in the day of trouble he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling, and set me high upon a rock.
Even now he lifts up my head, although my enemies round about me.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hearken my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
You speak in my heart and say, Seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek.
Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant to pleasure.
You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
Will my father and my mother forsake me? The Lord will sustain me.
Show me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Deliver me not from the hand of my adversaries, for all
What if I had not believed that I should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living?
O tarry and await the Lord's pleasure. Be strong, and he shall comfort your heart. Wait patiently for the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, the third chapter. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very same hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever told a joke and at the end of the joke you just get a blank stare, and then you explain the joke and you get a blank stare? That happened at the first service this morning. So I'm going to try it on you. I read this story in the Lutheran magazine that we just got. The lector reads out, as we just heard, "Let us pray Psalm 27 responsively." And the 11-year-old child leans over to his mother and says, "Why do they always tell us to be careful when we read this?" Responsive, responsibly. Okay, thank you. The words of today's psalm that we did pray responsively call for some careful consideration as well. I think that we do need to be responsible about praying this psalm. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" These words ring in my heart and in my ears. But these are the words that connect the readings on this second Sunday of Lent. These are powerful words But we need powerful words today to help us unpack these scriptures and listen to these words of faith. Abram had to listen to powerful, mysterious words that brought him to the point of trusting. He didn't understand how or why. He chose to let the mystery be. We are praying in these days of Lent to listen, to stand in the mystery, to move closer to trust. The implications of the promises to Abram are life-changing, and our Lenten prayer is life-changing as well. There are promises made to us by God that take our whole lifetime to change us. Lenten prayer is waiting and watching and listening and living in that mystery, the mystery of that change that God is working in us. Now, Abram had been called, and he was living that call while trusting the God who had invited him. He left his homeland, but now he has a bit of a complaint. In Abram's time and culture, having children and having land were signs of God's loving blessing. Abram had neither. And this is how the drama of our scripture selection for today begins. The voice of God invites Abram to count the stars in the sky and come to know and believe that his descendants will be even greater in number. Abram goes outside, looks up at the sky, and believed, really believed. Now, of course, this thing that God was telling him, this promise of land and descendants, was still unfulfilled. It was still, well, ridiculous. It was too good to be true. But for some reason, Abram, looking up at all those stars in the sky, gave up deciding whether it could be or could not be true. And he asks reverently about how he will know. And God makes a covenant with him. Now, in the ancient world of covenant making, an animal or animals were cut in half, placed apart, and then the two parties who were making the covenant, who had agreed on the history of the relationship, on the promises that were being made, on the terms of the agreement, the two parties would walk between those cut animals. By doing this, kind of a gesture of partnership, they were saying to each other that if the covenant is broken, the offending partner wishes that he would also be treated like those animals, split in half, cut apart. Now, while Abram is in a deep mystical sleep, God passes between those animals in the form of fire, and he pledges land and descendants to Abraham, makes a covenant promise. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. I remember the Lenten seasons of my youth. Even weeks before Ash Wednesday, we'd start talking about what we would be giving up for Lent. This was a season, a time that we could prove to God and hopefully other people who might be watching and notice our asceticism, we would prove what good Christians we were. And our teachers reminded us that our measly Lenten suffering was nothing compared to the suffering that Jesus had to suffer for our sakes. But to tell you the truth, missing my favorite TV show or not having dessert for 6 whole weeks hardly seemed measly to my 10-year-old self. But no matter how great or small, our sacrifices would help us to prepare in a proper celebration of Easter. At times, though, the spirit of competitiveness, seeing who could give up the most or who could go the longest without failing, was what Lent was more about than a spirit of prayer or fasting or almsgiving. We were so intent on what we were doing that we had little appreciation for what God was doing in our lives. This story of Abram points out the limitations of these one-sided efforts of our Lenten selves. While it was necessary that Abram was the one who prepared the animals for the sacrifice according to what the Lord told him to do, once he did that, his work was done. He had no further work to do concerning that covenant making. Abram fell into a deep sleep. A deep, terrifying darkness descended upon him. And when Abram was asleep, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, the symbols of the Lord's presence, passed between those parts of the sacrificed animals. Ordinarily, the covenant ritual would have required that both contracting parties pass between the slain animal pieces. But in this case, God alone did it, because this covenant is a unilateral pact. The initiative comes all from God, not from Abram. Now, in some ways, I think it was easier for our ancestors in the faith to trust in God, the God that we cannot see. Abram looked up at the stars and he believed. He trusted. He believed the Lord. Today, our world is filled with so much technology and science, and we are able to control so many facets of our lives. We're tempted, I think, to try to control God as well. Like the Lenten disciplines of my youth, the focus too often is on what I am doing and on my search for God, that we fail to recognize that it is God who speaks to us, God who is inviting us, in fact, is already within us, initiating, motivating, guiding that search and that desire. As we heard in last Sunday's reading, the word is already near you, on your lips, in your heart. The Lenten season extends to us an invitation to enter into the darkness and to learn more, to trust God, to look at our expectations and to face our disappointments with faith. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? We may have to enter into the darkness of death, as we have to surrender our healthy self to an illness that points to our dependency on others and offers us a clear taste of our own mortality. Illness might be God's way to teach us. It was Ash Wednesday, not too many years ago. My best friend, Kathy, the woman that I had was my roommate all through graduate school and my best supporter and encourager in life, Kathy found out that the innocent-looking lump on her hip was not all that innocent. The cancer grew at a very fast rate and was sapping her energy, in fact, her very life. All through her illness, which wasn't really all that long, Kathy was learning great lessons, lessons about love and life, about relationships, about what was really important in life and what was not important. But most of all, Kathy learned how to trust God. She's was very independent, fiercely independent, and she learned to rely on others. And she taught others, too, about the truth of living fully one day at a time. Kathy said to me one day, "I'm going to live every day until I die. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is my light, the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" We may have to enter into the darkness of death as we surrender our competent self to a failure in our school or in our job. We may be asked to surrender our self that is built on the rock of financial security, to undergo a period of anxiety that makes us keenly aware of our tendency to trust gold more than God. My friend had an important position in a company for a number of years, and he loved his job. He told me one day that he loved his job so much that he would go to work every day even if he didn't get paid. In fact, he loved his work so much that he would go to work and pay them for the privilege of working there. One day, he got a call from the boss, got called into his office, and was told to pack up his office and go home. It seems that one of the managers had been embezzling, and since my friend was the supervisor, he was going to take the fall along with the embezzler. The other guy went to prison, but my friend was left wounded. What would happen to his status in the community? He was president of the Rotary. What would happen to his status in the church? He was not guilty of any crime, but it looked like it. He was an elder. He was a Sunday school teacher. But he had been fired. What would happen now to if he couldn't make his house payments? Or if he couldn't make the payments for his daughter's college tuition? He learned some great lessons for those many months that he was out of work. He learned about his own vulnerability. He learned about dependence and trust in God. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" We may have to enter into the darkness of death as we have to surrender certain expectations that we have about our marriage or about a relationship. We promise fidelity, companionship, permanence, and we expect to be able to keep those promises. Cheryl and Andrew had what most people would describe as a beautiful marriage. 3 great kids. I'm the godmother of the youngest, the cutest one. They had satisfying work, community involvement, good friends. They had the encouragement and the support of both families. They had a great life. And then Drew developed a brain tumor. The surgery and the medications were completely successful, and now he has a complete, perfect bill of health. But that illness caused a lot of stress in their marriage. It wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't what they expected. But there's some happy endings to this story. Drew found his way back into the church, back into a relationship with God that had waned and lost during the years. But the marriage ended in divorce. They learned trust. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" experiencing a shattering and shifting of the foundations on which we have established ourselves, we are most likely going to perceive as darkness, like Abram did, like Jesus did when he was on the cross. But it's not just the big events, those things that threaten to overpower us, those major darknesses like cancer or losing your job or losing your marriage. It's not just those things that threaten to and do throw us off balance with unmet expectations, but it's the things that happen on a daily basis, the unmet expectations and the disappointments of life can threaten to throw us off balance. Our hearts ache with fears and regrets. Jesus knew this kind of pain. We can hear the disappointment in his voice. How often I have desired to gather you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. Unmet, failed expectations. Like Jesus, we've been disappointed when others have not met our expectations. And on the other hand, we've been guilty of failing to meet the expectations of others, the expectations of God. But there is good news here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? The good news is that God of mercy and grace will have the last word in our lives, in our big expectations and promises, and in our little ones. Our challenge, like that of Abraham and Sarah, is to believe that this will be so. That in the end, God's word will be fulfilled. That in spite of the frequent and impressive evidence to the otherwise, God's word is eternal. God's word will last. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? Trust in God. Amen.